This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is 8 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're still listening to Power Talk with me, Aldrin St-Pierre. Continuing on the theme around schooling, now we're going to be focusing on homeschooling. So if you remember the press briefing with the Minister Angie Motshekga, the Basic Education Minister, she spoke about the anxieties that parents would be going through and some parents fearing taking their kids back to school because of COVID-19. Schools reopening on the 1st of June, starting off with the grade 12s as well as the grade 7s. These are now public schools. Private schools, they've got their own arrangements. That's what privilege does, by the way. So the public schools will then open for, the public schools will open grade 11, grade 12s as well as the grade 7s. And during that press briefing, she also mentioned that there is another option. And that option is you can homeschool your child. And some people have been doing homeschooling, and today we'll be focusing on homeschooling. I wonder if you ever tried homeschooling or are you homeschooling? 061-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St-Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and what that experience is like. What are some of the pros and cons around homeschooling? Because with homeschooling, it would probably be just the parent and the kid or the kids who are there. What happens to socializing and socialization and how the child understands the world? And are you able to equip the child with the necessary survival skills when you release the child into this mean, mean world? Because you won't be there when the child is at work. You won't be there when the child starts a family. So what are some of those cons that are there, but what are some of the benefits that are there? And from the stats that I was looking at in the United States, they say that every year they've seen an increase of around 3% in homeschooling. So more parents opting for homeschooling. And there's a huge increase, especially amongst the African Americans. But what they found as well is that on average, a kid who has been homeschooled performed far better than kids who go to normal traditional schools. So those are some of the things that we need to take into consideration as we have this conversation. But we will be speaking to Riabe, who is a parent who decided that let's go the homeschooling route. And then we'll be speaking to Kabelo Mfeka, who is a matriculant, and he is also being homeschooled. So all of those experiences coming together. 061-987-000. Can also tweet at Aldrin St-Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. But later on, towards the top of the hour, we will be speaking to the Social Development Department just around how do you go about registering, because you need to register to do homeschooling. Riabe, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Aldrin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? Are we disrupting class?
No. Luckily, Mami today had a doctor's appointment, so yeah. I'm away from the kids. Daddy's taking over for today.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Oh, so both of you do it?
I'm mainly the one who does it because my schedule is a bit more flexible.
Okay.
But if I can't, he takes over for that period.
Okay. So let's take a few steps back. Where did it start all for you?
So with this, when the pandemic started, we realized that something needs to carry on. These kids' minds need to continue to be stimulated because we can't just sit with kids and they're not doing much.
Mm.
And then, luckily, their school started an online homeschooling portal.
Yeah.
So we started with that. And then, bit by bit, I started to say to my husband, I don't think this is such a bad idea to actually continue with it on a permanent basis, whereby we look for institutions that are actually were actually created to give to help with homeschooling. And now that is what we are going into. So yes, we are going to be taking them out from the mainstream and just continue with homeschooling.
Okay, and how many children?
It's four. So it's two of my own and two of my cousins.
Okay, and you tutoring all four of them?
Yes, so I tutor all four of them. They are still in grades that I can manage. So
okay, which grades are those?
So we have one who's in grade R. There's one grade 3, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in terms of teaching the various subjects, then how do you guys navigate around that? And who would know who's much better in which subject? This is now between the two of you.
So I'm much better in English literacy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my husband is stronger in math because he actually has the patience to explain.
Mm.
Yes. So that's how we split it. But most of the time, I do. For all of them. So the older kids also have sciences involved, and then the younger ones only mainly have English, maths, and an additional language, which is Zulu. Yes. So I would do most of them. Then yeah.
Yeah, have you spoken to them about it? This is like the route that we are considering taking.
Yes. So yeah. I have spoken to them about it. My daughter is super excited. She's quite a different child.
Mm.
So if you see how Shoma Josie is,
okay,
that is literally my daughter. Her hair is always colorful. She wears a tutu every single day of her life.
Mm.
So when she had to start with formal schooling and she couldn't wear a tutu, it was something different. She couldn't understand it.
Mm.
And she actually doesn't like going to school. Even Craig, she didn't like going to school.
Mm.
But when we are at home and we are homeschooling, she participates and she asks. She'll actually be like, okay, when are we starting with school? So she's actually more comfortable with it. My son is more of a socialite. So he is not too keen on the route. But luckily, because his cousin is also there and they're around the same age group, he actually doesn't mind because he gets to play with somebody.
Okay. We're going to be speaking to Kabelo in the next while. And Kabelo is a matriculant who's been homeschooled. Not too sure. Kabelo, how many years has it been now? Good morning.
It's been about 2 years. I started homeschooling in grade 10.
You started in grade 10. Apologies there, Kabelo, you're saying?
I started in grade 10.
You started
it's been
in
about 2 years. Yeah.
Why was that for you? Why did you guys decide on that?
Well, personally, it was first me who proposed it to my parents because I had gotten serious about filmmaking at the time and started to see some progression in that. So I realized that I wasn't finding time to keep my grades up and work at the same time. So I said, I think the best option for me would be to switch to homeschooling.
And what did your parents say initially?
Initially, they were a bit skeptical because, you know, it's not the traditional form of schooling. So it was a bit of a shock for them. But then when we looked more into it, they realized, okay, this is probably the best option for me if I want to have a secure future in what I want to do.
Okay. So explain a normal day for you. It is, let's say it's now 6 a.m. What happens?
I'm sleeping.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
It's very important what you're saying. It's very important because here's the other thing about what our listeners as well should understand about this particular conversation is that if Kabelo, for instance, is sleeping at 6 a.m., if you live in Soweto or you live in Katlehong or you live in Mamelodi and umntwana wakho ufunda eSlungweni, ufunda eDrobheni, that means that that child will be stuck in traffic, right? So, which means that the child would need to be up a bit early. 6 a.m., I'm sure for some parents, like, no, so we're late. So, the child needs to be up early to get ready to go to school. But what homeschooling does is that homeschooling just cuts out that whole traffic nonsense. There's no traffic that you need to deal with because the child is right there and you guys come up with your own timetable as well. Okay, so Kabelo is sleeping at 6 a.m.
Yes.
The alarm goes off when?
It's just usually like maybe an hour, 2 hours before my first class because you know, really all I have to do is just wake up and my desk is in my room. So I just, I get started straight to school. So I have an online school which does have a schedule, but that schedule is different every day. So one day I'll start school maybe at 7. The next day I'll start school maybe at 11 or 12, or it varies day to day. So there's no one day where I'm doing the same thing as you would have in regular school. So it's different every day. And it's I think it gives you more of a independent kind of feel, because you never know. I mean, you know, but each day it's a different thing. So one day you must focus on this, and the other day you need to focus on that. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the number of subjects a day?
7, the usual.
7 subjects a day.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't have every subject each day, so it's usually about 5 or 6-ish.
Okay. And then who is doing the teaching?
I'm doing online school, so it's teachers from all around South Africa.
So you're doing the online version of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ria, on your end, the online version.
Yes.
Are you considering that as well, instead of having to take time out of your schedule to be doing the schooling, the teaching?
Yes, that's what we're considering, the online version. But what I realized, that even though we have been using the online version for the past month or so, sometimes they need, because they're still young, they need you to sit down and actually physically explain some concepts to them. Yes, so you still do, I would still need to have some time to actually say, okay, so this concept, if they're talking about factors in mathematics, this is what it's speaking about, and do examples upon examples. So, yeah.
Okay, and Kabelo, then there's the element of the friends, you know?
Yeah.
And Ria was saying, Uti, her son is a socialite.
Yes.
For you, you're starting off at grade R and you're part of a traditional schooling system.
Yes.
And that switch then, tell us about that.
You know, oftentimes you see people say, yo, you list all the benefits, but the truth of the matter is that when you reach those higher grades, like grade 10, 11, 12, I don't really have many friends. I think I have like one or two, and I hardly ever see them, because, you know, matric is just as demanding as it would be if you were in normal school. And half the time I'm doing school, half the time I'm doing my filmmaking thing. So it's just, I really, that's one part where you will feel the blow. I remember the first few months of me homeschooling. It was, you know, nice, still weekends. But then after a while, people do grow apart, and you can't just expect friends to miraculously come out of nowhere. So that is one of the disadvantages of homeschool. It's the social part. You don't really get that many opportunities unless, you know, you're doing sports in a club or stuff like that, which I don't do.
Ria, does that concern you at all?
It does a bit. But then when I thought about it, I said, because the homeschooling, the online homeschooling is actually much cheaper, it's going to cut costs. So the thinking is that then we have extra funds then to invest in extra murals, so they can do more extra murals that they can then get to interact with other children.
And how often would they be doing that?
Once the COVID is a thing of the past and they can resume, then you'd find that at least 3 times a week we can find extra murals that they can do.
Have you spoken to other parents, Ria, who are homeschooling?
Yes, I have spoken to other parents. I've actually, like, literally this morning, there's a parent who was sent me a link to say, try out this link. And she said that the one that I was talking to says that it has made a vast difference in her daughter's life. And then the great thing about it is that you are able to pace yourselves and your the child according to years. So she's saying that right now her daughter is currently almost done with term 3. Because then she's able to take it subject by subject and pace herself according to her schedule and things like that.
Yeah.
Just like how Kabelo is saying that he's able to also focus on his filmmaking things.
Yeah, and I think that's the other interesting thing, yeah? Because teachers tell us that you'd rather have a smaller class so that you can pay attention to each child in the class. So the benefits of having just one kid to focus on, and you'd know what the kid's strengths are, the weaknesses, the blind spots, and so forth. Yeah,
definitely. It has taught me so much about my kids, just homeschooling and sitting with them. I get to realize that, oh, wow, my daughter is so strong in mathematics. And, you know, it's something that I would have never observed if I had never taken this route.
Yeah. Kabelo, then with the online system, which is a bit different, because it's with you, is it just you and the tutor on the other side, or is it you part of a virtual class?
There is a whole class. So it's a whole virtual class where the teacher teaches. But the good thing about it is that all the classes are recorded. So, for instance, with me, I went to a filmmaking school last year and I missed about 3 weeks and I caught that up within like 5 days just from those recorded classes. So it is like a normal lesson, except everything is recorded and the classes are only in one portion of the day and you have the rest of the day to, you know, do whatever else you need to do.
And over and above what's being taught online and having access to what has been recorded or the lesson being recorded, are you able to be in contact on a very personal level with the teacher?
Yeah, it actually brings you closer to the teachers because they have more time to get to everybody. Because some of the teachers, you can email them personally or WhatsApp personally, and then they'll take that and then tell the rest of the class the next day. So it's more you more easily accessing the teachers on a regular basis.
Okay, and then from your end, Kabelo, how does the assessment work? I've got Matimo who says here, please ask about the assessments. How are they done and who monitors them? And a similar question from Mike as well.
Yes. So there's obviously, because I'm in matric, there's the exams, and then there's just the term test that, you know, your SVA marks and everything. So with the SVA marks, there is a computer program that allows the teachers to monitor the activity on your computer. So a lot of the concern is that are people cheating? This it's very much impossible in terms of the school I'm in. They have dedicated programs to tracking even your mouse movement, your keyboard movement, to make sure you're doing everything okay. And your camera is always on, so they're seeing what you're doing in your room or wherever you are. They're seeing where your eyes are going. And then with the exams, obviously you have to register and go to centers to write those NSC exams.
Okay, so the test you can do it from home, but the exams are from a center.
Yes,
and then when you get to that center, is the test itself or the exam itself? Do you do the exam on a computer or is
it's like an exam center where everything's on paper, just like you would in school. Yeah.
Okay. So 0861987000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk. Have you ever considered homeschooling? Would you like to explore it? What are some of the questions that you have in relation to homeschooling? Just after Power News headlines, we'll be in conversation as well with Nomonde Cele, who is also an education expert, education practitioner, rather, around homeschooling. So some of those questions that you may have and some of the technical stuff that you may have around that. And then also a bit later on, just before the top of the hour, we now have confirmed the Department of Basic Education to explain to us what the process is if you want to apply for homeschooling. Casey, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? And to your guests. I think on my side, obviously, it's a more personal situation. But I think through this break, I've realized that I'll probably go for a hybrid approach. And what I mean by that is that he'll still stay at school. I think just based on his personality, he's a people's person, you know, he's in grade one. But at the same time, I think I've enrolled on online platforms that provide education. I've seen them to be quite quicker. And they allow him to advance quicker. So I think maybe I'll continue doing that. So I won't just do homeworks, you know, like stuff that we get from school. But I think I'll still do spend 2-3 hours a day over and above that, you know, to sort of educate him with extra, not even extra work, but supplementing what the school has just because of his personality. And I've heard from a friend in terms of homeschooling that does homeschooling full time. They do have associations where I think on Fridays they do meet. So the kids do get to socialize somehow. And I think it's quite organized. So that covers the gap where you think you worry about socialization and things like that. Yeah.
And how do you determine how much is being done at school and how much is being done?
Look, I look at how quick he responds to the books that I buy from the bookshops, right, which are sometimes a bit more advanced than what they do at school. So I realize that, look, because it's a school, the class is 20 kids or 15 kids, they still have to manage the pace of everyone. So I kind of, you know, realize that, no, man, it's actually more interested in doing more things, more harder words, more harder reading, more harder sums and things like that. So the platform that I found is actually called Khan Academy. You can find it online. It's an NGO. It's free. Khan Academy, K-H-A-N, Academy. It's got good content from like preschools up to varsity, actually. So I actually use that. It's quite good, yeah.
Okay, then. Thank you for that. And Kabelo, with you, with the textbooks and so forth, what happens there?
All my textbooks are digital. I do have some physical ones, you know, from the past. I do have siblings above me, so I use those for help. But a lot of my books are digital. So, yeah, it's much easier when everything's in just one place on one hard drive. Yeah.
A tweet here from Urban Traveler says that, I wish my high school was like that of Kabelo. It's interesting that I feel like he will advance well in life. Do you feel that way, Kabelo? Do you feel that the space that you're in is and the environment that you're in is much more conducive to you achieving your dreams than it would have been if you had remained in traditional schooling?
100%. And one thing that I want to state is that to all the parents listening, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing for you, but your child will mature very much faster because when you're in school, you're around other kids. Me being at home, I'm accompanying my parents to meetings. I'm doing this. So the independence will grow and the maturity will grow very fast. Sometimes even for me, I think a bit too fast because, you know, I'm ready to leave the house now. But you definitely grow a lot faster and a lot different to what you would when you were in normal school. And I think maybe I have a little more experience because I changed in high school. So I see the difference between every day being with friends, teenagers, talking about the same old stuff, and then being at home and talking to yourself or your parents. So yeah. It's like,
Yeah. Ria, are you beaming there?
Yeah, definitely. Because my son is such an artist. He drives a lot of drawing and so does his cousin. So this also allows them extra time to sit and do such things. So yeah, definitely.
Okay, but you also work from home, right?
Yeah, yes, I work from home, so I had to adjust my schedule now.
Hey, how do you cope?
So I'm a chef and a dietitian.
Yeah.
What I do normally is that I ensure that if there's anything that needs to be done, especially delivery to, I work with some brands in terms of development and recipes and things like that. Mm. If there's anything that I need to create content for anything, I make sure by 9 it's already done, or I do it later in the afternoon around 3 p.m. when I'm done with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
0861-987-000, have you considered homeschooling? Banyana? You would have loved to, eh? Actually, it's now that I think of it, yeah? Mo? Ah, Gelezendli. 10:30, it's time for Power News Headlines.
Power Talk with Eldrin St. Pierre. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
We continue our conversation on homeschooling and whether you've considered homeschooling. 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre. Hashtag Power Talk and also tweet at PowerFM987. So some people say or may think that homeschooling is expensive. And from the research that I'd done last night as well, experts are arguing that, well, the experts these are now in the USA as well as in Europe are arguing that actually it is much cheaper because you, as the parent, you don't get to use transport money, number one. Number two, speak about uniform, for instance, that you don't have to deal with all of those issues. The textbooks you would have to buy, of course. So those are the only other costs, including if for instance, you consider going the online route that you'd have to do, you'd have to get the computer, of course, and then you'll have to have the data that's available. And in SA, data is expensive. But Kabelo, how much data do you use?
Unfortunately, when I switched to homeschool, we already had Wi-Fi, so I'm not really sure how much I use, but it's a lot because every lesson is live streamed.
Yeah.
If you don't live stream it, you must watch it. So that it is a lot of data that's used. Mm. And, you know, submitting assignments, some of those files get pretty big, you know, 600-word essays. It becomes a lot over time.
Yeah, yeah. And then with the network, the quality... Because there was another video that I saw where somebody was complaining that sometimes when they do the online learning, there's a problem with the network and it derails them.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the network. Fortunately, I haven't run into too much problems. Obviously, we're in South Africa, so there are going to be network problems.
Mm.
But one problem is load shedding affected us a lot last year. And you know, not everyone is using data or a modem or a, like I'm running on a computer. So if load shedding comes, sometimes I'd be in the middle of a test and load shedding, bam, I have to rewrite. The whole class must rewrite. They must reschedule exams. It's load shedding was a big factor last year, so much so that they had to reschedule, I think, about maybe 7 times of exams and tests and stuff like that.
Yeah. And what are the other factors?
I've seen a lot of these talks about homeschool, whether it be online, on radio, on TV. Yeah. And a lot of the time, the parents are coming on talking about, yo, it's so lovely, my child is doing great, this. But the reality of homeschooling is that it's hard. So much harder than regular school, because firstly, you know, you're on your own. So there's no, if you don't do your work, it's not a demerit, and then you do it next time, you fail. You know what I mean? It's simple as that. And everything is independent. So you must do everything yourself. And I'm a teenager. A lot of the other students are, you know, kids. It's very easy to type in Netflix or YouTube instead of your class. So it's staying focused and all that stuff. And, you know, also
the self-discipline.
Self-discipline is a huge factor. And if you don't have that, you're really going to struggle. That's why it's important that the child needs to want this more than the parent does. Because if it's just the parent saying, I think homeschooling would be good for you, you know, traditionally school works. That's why school's been the same way for 100 years, because traditionally it works. But for some kids, like myself, it might not work as well. So it's important that you have that discussion with your child and not leave them out of the factor, because it's a hard, you're putting them onto a hard task. You know, especially the socializing part and being a child, that aspect really does go away, and that's the reality of it.
Sure. Rhea, listening to that, what's happening? What's going through your mind?
No, I can actually relate, because on some days, the kids actually don't want to do any schoolwork. All they want to do is ride bicycles around the yard. And now you have to put your foot down and start shouting at people to be like, no, we need to do schoolwork. Because with school, there's a structure. They know that if they're in class, they need to work. But at home, there's tablets, there's bicycles, there's things that can keep them busy and distract them. So yes, it is actually hard.
Yeah. Okay. On Twitter, Senzo says that I'm glad I'm not in primary or in high school in 2020, because homeschooling would have never worked for me. And Bumi says that it's good if your child needs special attention or can't cope in a normal class environment. Not all kids are the same, but at the end, the results of being in self-isolation and babysitted will only manifest in adulthood when the lack of EQ starts showing up. So Nomonde Cele is joining us, and Nomonde is also an education at home practitioner. Nomonde, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, good. So Nomonde, what are some of the things that a parent needs to take into consideration before deciding that this is the route that I want to go?
I think the previous learner, Katleho, spoke so well in terms of you need to actually engage with the learners. You need to engage with your child in making those decisions. I think the responsibility then goes equally to parents and learners. So that's where the dynamic shift comes into traditional schools. So you need the investment from both parent and learner. And so you need to have those conversations before sort of getting into that. And so once you're in the homeschooling environment, and as a parent said, you need that structure. So schools work because they have that structure, you know, and you do this at a certain time. And so obviously at home, you need to then make that structure as a family, and sort of so that the learner feels a discipline, you know what I mean? They get into that routine. So I think those are some of the things you look into in getting into homeschooling. And of course, I mean, being in the environment we're in South Africa in terms of load shedding and access, you know, to internet, it's a big factor, you know. Most plans sort of fall through with exams and such and such. So you also need to consider your infrastructure in terms of where you're located. And I mean, that's generally just like the it's a basic, you know, you need to be able to sort of get into those classes. You need to be able to get into that, to get information. And I think right now, internet is probably the greatest equalizer. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is having, is getting infrastructures, sort of infrastructures ready for that change, where like learners can go into that movement of the internet, of like the digital age.
And because we're used to having traditional schooling, the majority of us, in terms of the difference of not having a teacher right in front of you, and the teacher being able to see that this is how Eldrin is responding to something, or Eldrin seems to be uncomfortable but unable to articulate it or not articulating it at all, how does online learning or homeschooling bridge that particular gap?
And that's very true. You know, in the you can't replace the physical. Yeah. You can't replace sort of like the, you can see facially, okay, this person seems a bit confused, and Aldrin seems to be following. And again, that goes back and it leans on the learner. That's where education then sort of really changes, where it becomes, as it should have been from beginning, where it becomes a responsibility of learner, parents, and educator. So it's the three actually being in partnership for the learning, you know, for the learning process. And I mean, that's why I spoke about sort of like a digital platform. So we use a digital platform where we go into like a Zoom meeting, and you're able to sort of encounter the learners. I mean, I encourage my learners to have their cameras on in class, you know, but you can never bridge, of course, the physical. But I mean, we look at institutions like UNISA, who've been doing it for so long, you know, and I think that's a model that South Africa could also go into, where it's part part in person and part online, or there's other sort of methods of getting it done. I think we need to start looking at progressively. We need to start looking at things in that you know, in moving towards that. And so even though it takes away maybe the, as you're saying, the physical, and maybe it takes away that engagement that you'd priorly have in class, but now we're getting even more. Now we're getting in terms of like nothing gets lost. I don't have a learner that comes to school and says, "Ma'am, I've lost my book. Everything is in a cloud." You know,
the dog ate my homework.
I don't get that anymore, because everything is in a cloud. And so with the changing, there's also sort of like benefits to that as well. So, and I mean, it's real time. That's what I also enjoy sort of like about homeschooling, using the digital platform and technology. It's real time in terms of you email a teacher now, you get a response now, you're able to get feedback, you're able to go back and review lessons sort of like in the cloud and recordings. And so it becomes personal, you know, as a student, you know, you can go back to what a teacher said at any given time. And so, yeah, even though it changes and some things get left behind, I see a lot being added to the experience.
Yeah,
especially for the learner.
You said earlier on the internet is the equalizer. And we have been taught before that education is the equalizer, and that didn't happen. So how can you assure us now, with the internet and advent of homeschooling as well, that how is it that the internet itself can become an equalizer?
So, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn and all, for all South Africans, but I mean, in my experience and sort of like in the institution that I'm in, so at Teneo, sorry, at the school that I'm in, we in the use of internet, learners, let's say, who are having load shedding, they can go back to lessons, as I've said, they don't miss anything. Information is readily accessible now. So everything, again, is in real time. That's what the internet offers. It offers a now experience, you know, and so you don't then become dependent on a teacher, even though we cannot replace educator. You don't become dependent on a textbook, but you can then sort of have that avenue of like, you can look at what you need to look into at whichever time, you know. You're not restricted to, I need to take a bus and go to the library. And so that's what we mean about being a great equalizer. And I know, I mean, I'll speak that our infrastructure doesn't allow that, but I mean, in my small-mindedness, I may say, if we were to take like this whole year, scrap it off as an academic year, and actually focus on building infrastructure for internet, and we start looking at models like UNISA, I think next year our learners would actually be more at an advantage, because now we're moving more with the world, moving into sort of like the fifth industrial revolution. We're actually going into and moving with the rest of the world. And so that's what I actually mean by the internet. Internet offers real time. It offers information right now, you know. And yeah, that's okay. You've been no more looking for encyclopedias.
And you don't have to wait for a procurement of textbooks, right? Or
that's the delay
in the delivery of textbooks. Yeah. So on Twitter, Lisiho says that interesting talk right there. It's quite an eye opener. Not really a bad idea after all. Sounds even better and efficient than I thought might be worth exploring in future, especially that the world is moving towards the 4IR. We are living the 4IR, we are told. 0619870000. Any questions that you have for Nomonde, maybe issues that you'd like to raise or a concern that you'd like to raise or clarity that you may need. We did indicate that we'll be speaking to the Department of Basic Education also about how you can register if you want to go the homeschooling option. Ria, question that you have for Nomonde or questions? Because, it's a big decision, this thing, eh?
It is, it is. And my biggest question is that the one thing that I see that I struggle a lot with is when I'm trying to explain a new concept to them and they're struggling to catch on to it. I sometimes get a bit impatient because for me it's like, why aren't you not understanding the thing? So, you know, so how do I then try to motivate them while keeping myself, you know, calm and practicing my patience so that they can eventually get it and I don't end up making them hate certain subjects?
Okay, so Ria, the thing is, as well as learners don't learn the same. So I think it's important to look at your child or the learner's learning style. So you might be recommended to teach a certain subject in a certain way. But if you know that your child is more of a visual learner, try different methods of that concept in which that the learner will then grab into, you know. I think it's very common that we use the same methods. We use our textbook, we use our notes, but maybe give yourself a break and play a video to the learner of that same concept, you know, someone else's voice, a visual something. So those are the type of things. And make use of hands, especially when you're in the house. So like stuff like maths. Maths, you can actually make a baking program where you guys are dividing ingredients, you are tying things, you're using scales. And so it becomes fun. That's what I'm meaning when I say homeschooling. It's sort of like it introduces new benefits. You know, now you can use, it's not so the board and you write on the board and. Now we can actually sort of engage with the topic. We can engage with the concept. So you use different methods until we reach our desired effect.
Okay, thank you. Love that idea. Thank you.
And then, Nomonde, are you then able to discern as a parent whether you are actually well-equipped to be teaching your child?
This is the biggest thing. And I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think there's a very fine line between that. It's not, we're not all educators. And I think the discipline needs to be respected in terms of there are certain skills that just belong to the education field. Of course, we are all personal with our children. We know what's best for our children. But it's okay also to get an expert in. So it's okay to consult as well, you know, in terms of you cannot, even I as a teacher, I'm not able to know all seven subjects. You know, I cannot be an expert in all these multifaceted subjects. So maybe you can even do it as a group of mothers where as a mother takes in sort of like a different subject. You know, there's different ways you can approach it. I think.
Okay. 0619870000. Let's also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk. You can also tweet at PowerFM987. Tandi, good morning.
Good morning, Aldrin. How are you?
Good, good.
Listen, I'm not sure. Maybe I caught the conversation with Nomonde sort of at the tail end because I listened just as she started speaking. But I'm speaking from a parent who has been exposed to homeschooling, particularly under lockdown, which I find rather fascinating, at best, very overwhelming. And I'll tell you why. One of your callers said it's very difficult for her to introduce new concepts of teaching to the kids. Now, my kid is in grade 5, which is the interface of the primary school, right? And, you know, at first it was quite fascinating. Hey, we're doing revisions because remember lockdown came just at the back of school was supposed to open. So it was very fascinating. But then the curriculum has to go on and you have to introduce new concepts based on what they were meant to do in term 2. And I find that very overwhelming at times and it you know, creates anxiety for the both of us.
Mm.
Because I don't know, because my kids, you know, eventually have to, you know, have to go back to school, I don't know how to introduce this new concept because, one, I'm not an educator. I'm just a mom who happens to be in the marketing industry. Number two, I might be knowing what a verb is, hypothetically. I might be knowing what a verb is and explain it to her. But by the time she goes back to school, the teacher's going to pick up somewhere. Come exam time, now my kid might be caught between, do I remember what my mom taught? Do I remember what the teacher said? Which I think could be quite confusing for the kid, considering that we want them to get to the next stage.
Yeah.
So now that's one. Two, Nomonde mentioned about the easiness of homeschooling, and I totally agree. However, I do get concerned, you know, maybe I'm not at the stage right now, but I do get concerned over what that does psychologically from a social impact, because all of a sudden your child does not have other kids to learn stuff from and to learn how to behave around, because we teach our kids the basics of this and this, and then they have to eventually practice it in a social setting.
Yeah.
So what happens then when your kid is not going to school? It's not great internet and oh my gosh, but you know, 4IR. But what happens psychologically?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get Nomonde to touch on then just a bit. But first, let's speak to Hope Mokgatle, Minister of Basic spokesperson of the Minister of Basic Education. Hope Nkedukuk promo tanje.
Thank you very much.
I wish you all the best, comrade. How are you doing, Hope?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thanks, and you all
good. Good, good. So, homeschooling. If a parent wants to go that route, number one, from the basic education department side, what is it that they must take into consideration and how do they go about the registration?
It's quite a hot topic now, what we call home education instead of homeschooling. That's just our language.
Okay.
But to answer your question, most parents are now considering homeschooling for a good reason, because of the panic, obviously, around COVID-19. The first thing that needs to happen is that the parent must register with the provincial education department. If you're in Gauteng, you go to the provincial education department and register your child for home education. So registration is very important because as a department, we need to account where all the learners are of school-going age. So under 15 learners, we need to know where they are. It's an option that parents can take up. But registration is very important. And how you apply, there is an electronic form which is available on our website, but the application must be written. It must be accompanied by the ID copy of the parent and the birth certificate of the child and other documents, including the last school report if the child was previously in school. But if you intend to have your child starting right from grade one to the end, then you just need to provide a birth certificate to the department.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Oh, you want more? Okay.
No, because I'm now thinking about, for instance, does the department take into consideration the social setting of where the child would supposedly be homeschooled?
Yes, it does. There are some conditions for homeschooling. In fact, we've got a whole draft policy on homeschooling, which is also available. It was reviewed in about 2015. But just in brief, there are some responsibilities for both the parent, the department, and also the child. For instance, but in the registration process, we need to establish where the child will be learning from. And basically, policy says it has to be at home. So you can't wake up in the morning and take your child to a farm or to a, you know, another place. It has to be at home. We put that trust in a parent to say it's at home, it's in the comfort of their home. They are being monitored and the work is happening. We also consider how long contact time is. You must remember that in school, the learning between teacher and learner is standard. But at home, it's a parent and a child.
Yeah.
Therefore, there must be some form of discipline as well there to say how many hours does a learner actually sit and learn.
Mm-hmm.
There should be assessments as well. And all these things need to have evidence and provide it to the department. We check on them, actually. We monitor homeschooling as well.
Mm.
So it's not an easy job of waking up and thinking, do you feel like reading today, my child? When can we start? You know, we want a format.
Okay.
That you have to provide to the department.
And then if the parent decides Uguti, they want to be the ones who teaches the child, is there any assessment that's being done on whether the parent has the capability or the capacity?
No, there is none. There is none. If a parent, the parent has a right to educate their child. Mm. You must remember that home education started a long time ago with our grandparents who were not even educated.
Yeah.
So it would be unfair to try and gauge whether a parent has a master's degree in something or the other. So a parent, any parent is fit enough to educate their child if they choose to. What we just expect of them is to understand the curriculum and to actually stick by it. So there is no assessment for the parent.
Do they go to a place where they can get a workshop?
Workshop in terms of?
In terms of, for instance, for the parent to understand the curriculum.
Yes, that's the department's job there.
Yeah.
We give you the guidelines on what to do. We hook you up also with other organizations for homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a whole community of homeschooling parents.
Okay.
So we hook you up with those ones for support as well.
Okay, thank you so much for that. That is Hope Mohatle, the spokesperson of the Minister of Basic Education. Fortunately, we're running out of time. My sincere apologies. But I just quickly want to take this call from Clive, who's a teacher. Good morning.
Good morning, Buddha.
Mm.
Just a quick one. From a teacher's perspective, advice to parents. First of all, to parents, don't stress, guys. If your child is in primary school, for instance, language, they will do verbs till it comes out of their ears. The only effort where you're supposed to put your sciences, maths, physics, and so forth.
Mm.
Because if the child gets term one work properly, they will not struggle throughout the rest of the year. If your child is in matric, for instance, the same techniques that matrics use to answer questions, it's going to be the same throughout the whole year. All they need to learn that is new is the content. So we are the ones who take care of that. So advice to parents, make sure that what they learned in term one, it comes out of their ears and they'll be fine.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this conversation. Nomonde Cele, thank you so much for your time, as well as Kabelo Mfeko and Ria Mokoko. It is 11 o'clock. It is time for Power News.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.